Hi, I'm Terry, Instagram's sassy sober mum. Welcome to my podcast, Sober Stories from Everyday People. Bringing you stories from people just like you and I, the aim of this podcast is to share our experiences with drinking and how we got and stayed successfully sober. Not sure if you know already, but I offer 6-week and 100-day coaching opportunities to work with me one-to-one each week. In these 50-minute sessions, I will be guided by your particular set of challenges and experiences and tailor a style of support that suits your life, your needs, but also covering many of the basics that you expect in sobriety. You will learn about why you drink, why it's hard to stop drinking, what you need to do to succeed, the science around cravings, poor sleep, managing your thoughts, and finally, powerful tools like reframing, taking back your power, implementing boundaries, and building self-confidence. In the 100 days coaching, you also get WhatsApp access with me directly for any urgent or general support outside of the sessions. Here's what Sarah says about the 100 days coaching with me. What have you gained from coaching with me?
So much. I can't even begin to tell you what an amazing journey this has been. I have gained insight. It's probably been the biggest thing, and how to cope, coping mechanisms, strategies. The biggest thing I've learned has been learning how to reframe, reframing situation, reframing what to do, you know, if those thoughts pop up. I did come to you obviously a little bit destroyed, or more than destroyed, and on the floor, but I knew that I had it in me to do it, and with your help and insights and strategies and what homework you gave me just made it so much easier and normalised it as well. If I had an issue with something, you were there.
It's so nice to hear that feedback, and it's just such a privilege to help people to feel supported on this journey and to see people flourish after the 100 days is finished is a really, really wonderful feeling. So if you're interested in working with me for 6 weeks or 100 days, please go to the website www.sassysobermum.com/coaching, and you can send an inquiry from there, or just contact me on Instagram or send me an email, whatever suits you the best. I usually open up my diary once a month to take on a new 100-day client. So let me know and we can see if we can get you booked in. Okay, let's jump into the episode. Hello, and welcome to Sober Stories from Everyday People. Today, I'm talking to Sebastian, who's in Bolton, and he's 6 months and 2 weeks sober, which is brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me today.
How are we doing, Lenny? All right.
I am really good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm excited, to be honest, because I always love having a guy on the show, because I think it's really important. So I'm excited to get into your story.
Brilliant.
So why don't you tell us a bit about yourself before we do that?
My name's Sebastian Fitzharris. I'm from Bolton. I live in Bolton as well, Bolton born and bred. And I do quite a lot of different stuff, really. So I'm a sales manager in apprenticeships for IT data and digital marketing. I've been on reality TV. I'm on BBC Three, Go Hard or Go Home. I'm a radio host for a drum and bass show on Bolton FM. I'm a DJ for drum and bass, bassline and garage. I do a lot of charity fundraising. I believe a lot in that. And I've even got my own podcast that's up and coming for this big media brand that I'm starting. But that's all around like music and drum and bass. So I keep busy. I'd say I'm a professional talker. It'd be my best kind of simplest explanation. I like talking in any shape or form, yeah.
Well, you're perfect for the show then. So, tell us about your life with alcohol then. Go back to the beginning. What did that look like?
Well, I'm one of them. I'm 24 now. For those listening, I probably sound about 40 or 50. I had an hard paper round. But I don't know. I started going out really young because I've always looked a lot older. So I've always hung around with a lot of older people. So I started like going out every weekend from being about 13 or 14. And that were not no wrongdoings on my parents. It's just, as I said, I'm a professional talker. I said, I'm going kipping at my mates. We've got a 3 litre Frosty Jack cider on the local park. Do you know what I mean? And that was every weekend from being about 13. And I started drinking, obviously, once to, around my GCSEs with my school, almost like with other schools, you didn't have to go in school around your actual exams. So I was out like majority of the time then, and that just carried on right up until last year, really. Like once I started working from about 17, I'd never drink during the week. I've always been professional that I'm never turned up to work rough. But on a weekend, I hit it hard, and I'm one of them. I can drink. I can start at 9, 10 in the morning and still be going till next morning. Do you know what I mean? I'll just carry on and carry on. And that was basically the last, how old am I now? 24. So probably about the last 7 years. Like even in lockdown, if anything, I probably got worse because like I worked all the way through lockdown, but a lot of the time we'd turn our laptop at the morning and then we'd be done in the afternoon. Then I was actually drinking at home and like during the week because there was nothing else to do. You couldn't see your mates, couldn't see my missus. So it was sit on the couch with my brother and get leathered. there was nothing else to it. And yeah, I've just got leathered for years and years. And then it was the death of my mum 2 years ago. It was literally 2 years ago, just a couple of weeks ago, 2nd of April 2022. And that is when I realised I was at my worst state because up until my mum's death, I didn't just drink every day for trying like make myself feel better or anything like that. But I did go out to camouflage how I was feeling. I had this thing that I didn't want my mum to see me upset and that it was affecting me, that a cancer was affecting me. And I knew that she would come to an end because I knew that I'd make it harder for her. I had to be as strong as I possibly could for her. But then once she did die, that is when I let all my emotions out. And I don't think there was a day from my mum dying up until a funeral 2 or 3 weeks after that I didn't cry and drink. I drunk. So I was waking up in the morning. I had to go and sort the death certificates, I had to sort with the council at Keep Our House. I had to do, honestly, anyone who's had to deal with someone's death, it's an absolute rigmarole. But so, and I were only 22 at the time. My older brother's autistic and he'd already booked an order, he got Portugal. My mum said, make sure you go, because you clear your head. And if I'm honest, it was better for him to be out of my way, to be honest. Well, I had to deal with everything. And so I was messing about doing that every day. And it'd get to about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. I'd finished the task for today. And I think, shit the bed. I need a drink. Do you know what I mean? I need some sort of release. So I was doing about 4 or 5 bottles of wine in a night. Not even during the day, a night. Sauvignon Blanc as well. Not like cheap crap. I was proper getting steaming and loads of cider. And in that 2 or 3 week space, I put 2 stone on.
Wow.
It was the first time in my life that I were over 16 stone. I was like a beanbag with arms and legs. And the pictures at my mum's funeral, I look all right in the face, but I've got a proper double chin. I've got a proper beer belly on me. But that's where I was lucky that I got the opportunity to go and go out and go home. Because so my mum died at 2 a.m. on the 2nd of April. And I was up all night crying. I couldn't sleep because of the pain. And I went down to London for for the final audition for the show. And she said, make sure you don't let her down and really do just put myself to it. So originally the show was going to be called something along the lines of Warrior Island. So I turned up. I didn't know what I was expecting because it was like some sort of a fitness and show about overcoming mental health. And we get there. I've gone train to London. I've cried all the way down there. And sat next to this woman. And I said, I'm not a weirdo. I said, my mum died last night. I said, sorry, I'm just crying all the way down here. So I'd meet him at this swimming bath in the middle of London. And we met at this swimming bath. They had me swimming limps. I'd turned up with black eyes because I've not slept all night. My face is all swelled up from crying. And they were having me do limps underwater and stuff to test me under my breath. They said, are you all right? So then I told them what's happened and they said, why have you come? I said, well, you said you wanted a warrior. And I said, I promised my mum. So I'm here. So then we've had the big, you have like a meeting because it was produced by Warner Brothers. So we've had this big meeting with Warner Brothers production and like a big hour chat. They made sure that I was all right. And then, so we went through all that. And then I was doing bleep tests behind the building, just running up and down. So I've done all this, I've no energy. And then it was, so that was the day my mum died. And then it was on the day of a funeral at the wake that I got the call. You're going out to the Dominican Republic next week. You've got the part. So it was weird. Wow. I believe everything happens for a reason. And on that program, it was all about overcoming mental health and physical health. There was one of my best mates who has become one of my best mates. I met him there, Dylan Spall. He was on there because he had testicular cancer and he's only a year older than me and he actually had to lose a testicle to it. And there were a girl on there who'd only just lost her dad. There were a lad on there who tried killing himself. There were a lad on there who had transitioned from a woman to a male and been through all sorts of hate. And I just, when I was there, what was killing me about being at home is that all I had everyone doing and mithering me. Obviously, I could just get as much alcohol and stuff as I wanted. And I had everyone saying, oh, come for a drink, sort your head out. Oh, I know how you feel. You don't know how I feel. You do not know how I feel. And being there, I had a 6-week cleanse. So I weren't drinking, weren't smoking, I weren't having anything else. And my mentor, while I were there to begin with, was actually Nesrin Dalley, one of the top coaches in fitness. She's one of the best coaches in London, and now she's one of the Apple fitness trainers in LA, and she's Muslim. So she really taught me a lot about values, about dealing with things the right way. Ashley Kane, he lost his daughter to cancer, the Azalea Foundation, I'm sure a lot of people have heard of. We had a lot of talks, a lot of cries, and he really helped me come to terms with things the right way. And it's what he taught me is how to turn pain into power and purpose. Instead of using my mum's death as a reason to cry and be upset and do nothing, every time one of those occasions come up, go out and do something. Don't just sit at home and have a drink because that doesn't sort it. So ever since he taught me that, like, the March kills me because you have International Women's Day, I have Mother's Day, then I have the date of my granddad's death, then I have my mum's birthday, and then I have, obviously, the death anniversary. So I'm not the person to come to cross paths with in March. And so what I do every year now, when it comes to all those dates, I go out and do some charity fundraisers, so I'll go running, I'll go and do mountain hikes. I'll just get myself out there. And I can't advise anyone, if you're listening now, to if you're going through any sort of pain, even if it's not like loss, if it's genuinely you are an alcoholic and you're trying to just come off it, The best way to do it is getting out your house and getting out walking. Go out and do stuff. Replace the times you'd spend sat there wasting your life away drinking. Do that actively. Go on, when you raise money for a purpose and raise money for an organization, you get a really good release of serotonin, a feel-good factor. And like this, I'm doing 12 months of sobriety to begin with. Want to prove a point to myself that I can do it, because I'm only 24 and I doubt there's barely 5% of the population my age, probably unless they are doing it, unless they're religious. But anyone in my like-for-like scenario, there's probably barely anyone out there doing what I'm doing. Not because they can't. A lot of them might just not want to. And they, obviously everyone has their own reasons. But I'm doing 12 months of sobriety. In the process, I am raising money for Mummy Star. So I'm doing it in remembrance of my mum. Mummy Star is the only charity in the UK and Ireland that deal directly with women and children who get cancer around pregnancy. So I'm doing 12 months of fundraising in which I'm doing different fitness events. Obviously, anyone who says they want to buy me a drink, I say just stick money on that link. And then once the 12 months is up, the things it's already taught me is I don't think I would ever, ever go to the pub just for a drink again. I am only 24, so I do think at some point in my life I probably will have a drink, but I can't see it being anytime soon. I got a very good piece of advice from someone called Lisa Forshaw, who organises like loads of events in Bolton and stuff, and she's 9 years sober now, and she said it was about 5 years in, I think it was her son's birthday or something like that, and she just said, someone said, why don't you just have one? And she only had a few drinks. And she said she never felt rougher the next day. And it reminded her why she went sober in the first place. But I can't tell you how good I feel. One of the main reasons I wanted to do it is because there's so many different things that I want to do that always get put back on the shelf because, oh, I've spent all my money drinking this weekend. Oh, there's this coming up. There's that coming up. And you don't get anything done. But that's why this year, since going sober, I've ran my first half marathon. I've raised nearly £1,000 for charity already up to now. I've set up two limited companies, one for my clothing brand with Dylan, which again, we're going to do a lot of cancer charity fundraising for. And then I've set up my podcast, my record label. I've been promoted at work. There's a million reasons to do and go sober than not. Yeah. And that is the biggest point I can stress to anyone. But yeah, I kind of went off on a tangent there off just your first question. Sorry. Like I said, I'm a talker, my nature.
Oh, don't worry. It's an amazing story. And, you know, one of the things that when you were talking, I was thinking, it's such a lot to deal with at 24, even stopping drinking, you know, it's fascinating really, because when I look back at my 20s, I was that person that was getting wrecked every weekend. And I think a lot of
every
people
weekend.
Relate to that. And that carried on all through my 30s, pretty much as well, apart from a couple of stints of not drinking, but in, you know, the grand scheme, most of my 20s and 30s were just getting wrecked at weekends because, you know, that's what we do, right? So it's fascinating, I think, when you get the opportunity to speak to somebody that's sub 25, that's going against the grain with all those different pressures, you know, peer pressures, and you're young, right? That's what you do. What do you mean you're not drinking? How do you handle that? How do you deal with that?
So, well, honest to God, for the first couple of months, I couldn't go to the pub, not from my own temptation, but from people doing my head in. So many times people are like, oh, do you not just want one? No. What? Even when I did drink, I didn't want one. It was either 10 or none. Yeah. I've never been that person who, like, I've got loads of my mates who say, oh, yeah, I'm just going to go and have one. Why? I'm going to have one, save the money. I'll just have a pint of water. Like, what? I'm not a cheapskate, but I just don't see the point in having one. You're either getting leathered or you're not.
Yeah.
And, like, don't get me wrong. Like, I think for the first 3 months, a lot of my friends and even people who, like, so a lot of my best mates and then a lot of people who I just, like, you see when you go out and about, a lot of them just didn't really get it. There has been, don't get me wrong, I've had loads of support with it. I've not had anyone say, oh, I don't even see why you're doing that, because obviously it's for a good cause as well. But now that I'm in that 6 month period, people get he's doing this, because a lot of people didn't think I'd be able to do it as well. But I do see myself as quite mentally strong. If I put myself to something, I can do it, because I've not got an addictive personality. Like, even with smoking and all that stuff, I've always done it and stuff in the past, but I can easily just say, right, I don't need it. I can just, I'm quite lucky in that respect that I can just cut things off. And people understand it a lot more now. Like, I were even in the pub on Saturday night. I were there till closing, just having pints of soda water with a slice of lime. Nice. That's the thing, I didn't even like sparkling water. Since I've gone sober, I love it. I'm a sparkling water man. But, yeah, it's just, I suppose it's just it's a bit more exciting than normal water, isn't it? Because that's the thing. I don't really crap either. I'm not a chocolate eater. I like crisp, but if I have more than two or three bags of crisp, I get ulcers. I'm like an old man. Don't know what's going on. My body can't take any sort of sugar now. That's it. Because that's another thing that hit me really hard. Once I was, it was around December at time, so about 2 months in, I was getting these severe migraines, and I had to go to the doctors because I'd never even had a bad headache before that. In the 20 odd years of living, I did not get headaches, not even when I were that rough. And it was coming to a point where I just felt, I started getting health anxiety, thinking I was developing brain cancer or something like that. And they said, what the doctor said is, because your body has been so used to having all them sugars from all the spirits and everything every weekend, it's kind of like needing the sugars and all the bad salts and all the crap you have. And I was getting these severe headaches for months. I had to actually go on a amitriptyline for 3 months so I could sleep, because coming off all the drinking and everything, not like I was some sort of junkie. I were only having, this is the thing, I was only drinking at weekends, but I could drink a lot. Mm. And it was the proof in the pudding that how much I was drinking severely affected me.
Yeah.
Like, to come off it, and because I was speaking to, I don't know if you spoke to Dapper Laughs. He has a sobriety podcast.
Mm.
And he gave me a lot of good advice. Because he was saying that's completely normal. He went through a very similar kind of thing. Because I thought I was just, I was going cold turkey. I was turning into some sort of nutter. I was getting, because all my personality traits, I was kind of losing a bit as well, because I was getting stressed because I couldn't sleep. I was getting like aggy. But now we're 6 months in, telling everyone, once you hit that 6 month mark, we're all gravy. Yeah. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling proper good. A lot of people tend to lose loads of weight from not drinking, but I haven't really, I don't really think I've lost barely any weight from not drinking, because I trained all the time anyway. It's more that I feel like I look healthier in the face. Like, my skin's a lot clearer, and more than anything, my mind is so clear. I obviously, in sales, you deal with a lot of crap from other customers or this, there, and everywhere. And sometimes I would proper go home and I'd just be stressed out of my head. Whereas if I lose one call, it's just straight on to the next. It's made me better in my job. I got promoted. I'm just, yeah, I'm feeling good. I couldn't recommend it to anyone more. And I feel like where a lot of people go wrong is when they do try and quit everything, they try and stop seeing everyone as if that's going to help. But you need the people around you to still have a laugh. Like, half the time, when I'm out in pub with all my mates, my missus, when I'm up the phone to her, she goes, have you had a drink? And I said, no. She went, you sound very lively. I said, because you're still picking up all the vibe off everyone, aren't you? Do you know what I mean? You're just having a laugh with everyone still. And at first, I lost all that because I did shut everyone out because everyone were pecking my head.
Yeah, but I also think that I think there's probably space for both, because I think if you're quitting in the very beginning, I do think sometimes those situations, especially socially, can be really tough.
And that's what I mean.
Yeah, it does help, I think, a bit to hunker down just to get enough confidence to be like, yeah. I mean, obviously, you have a real strength and determination, which, you know, you've described, you know, it's like a gift, you know, you're lucky to have that. You sort of, like, once you're going to do something, that's it.
Put my mind to it.
You're going to do it. Yeah. And I relate to that. I'm a bit like that. Sometimes I'm really like that. Sometimes I'm like that. And then a month later, I'm like, okay, let's go back. But no, I get it. Once you shift into that gear. But I think that, I definitely agree that it's not helpful to do that forever, you know, or too much, because you do have to find your feet in the world.
You've got to find some sort of happy middle ground as well. You can't avoid everyone forever. You turn to an hermit. But I feel like my hardest time is going to come. I'll tell you what, the only time it's even triggering my head, oh, I won't mind a drink. So it worked like Christmas Day, and like it was the work Christmas do. So I work literally in Bolton Town Centre, facing a pub, and it's a bit like a Wetherspoon, just so it's open for like 10 o'clock, and we had to come in work for the first hour of the day, and then they said, right, we're done now, so we're going to go across Hogarth's, have a pint, and then go and meet everyone at the meal. And that was the only time it triggered in my head. Oh, yeah, 10 o'clock pint, that sounds good. That was the only time where it even crossed my mind, and I thought, whoa, what am I even thinking like that for? Mm-hmm. It was just, that as bad as it sounds, it was more appealing to drink at 10 a.m. than anyone who's offered me a night out. And then what made me feel so good after, poor George, my colleague at work, it got to about 6-7 in the afternoon. We've been out in Manchester and all the plans died out. The bars, obviously you get bored of them after a bit out playing the same crap. And then we're on the train back, me and him, to Bolton. And all he's doing the whole way back, he was leathered. He's ringing all his mates. Oh, you're doing anything? You're doing anything? Oh. And that was the bit I hated about being drunk, when there's nothing to do. Mm. And you're steaming. No one else is on your level. And now you're just going to go back to another pub and just it's just boring. Mm. You're not doing anything apart from drinking. And that made me go, yep, glad I'm not you now, George.
Yeah.
My biggest challenge coming up will be when I go on holiday. So I'm going, my mum's got a memorial in Turkey. I'm not Turkish, although I have got very tan complexion. All my mates try and call me a Turk, but I'm quite Italian. But my mum's got a memorial in Turkey, because that's where my auntie has an apartment, and my mum went there every year religiously, literally must have gone there 20 times. So my mum's got a lovely memorial there that the locals and stuff have set up. It's like on a big street corner, and like a load of plants and a big light and everything. So going seeing that in May for a week. And I'm going with my brother and my best mate's DJ, and then Dylan. Dylan isn't really a drinker, which is, I'm glad he's coming. Whereas DJ and my brother love a drink. And when I'm on holiday, I don't know if you can relate, I'm one of them. I wake up 7-8 morning, go and have breakfast, do 2 or 3 lengths of the pool, and I think, surely I've earned a pint this morning, and that's it. I'll drink then all day. I'll eat during the day while I'm drinking, but it'll come to like 6-7 at night, and I'm in shower getting ready for go out, and I'm falling around the shower, absolutely legless, and I'll do that every single day on holiday. Like, and I'll put about a stone. I'll probably end up putting at least a stone on in just beer, because I'll start on beer, and then once I've had my dinner, I'll think it's probably appropriate to have a cocktail now. We may as well. We were in the sun. Why not?
Yeah.
And when I went, it was just before I went sober, I kind of had my last blowout. When I went to Turkey seeing my mum's memorial for the first time, I went with my missus, one of my best mates, Connor, and his missus. And she couldn't believe, his missus couldn't believe what I'm like on holiday. And that was kind of like a, I kind of drink too much then, don't I? Because she couldn't believe that I drink first thing in the morning. Because she wouldn't actually drink until we're at the meal at night. She wouldn't even have one drink during the day. And my missus had only drink some of the days with her. Whereas obviously I'm polar opposite, and then bad influence on my mate Connor. So then, that'll be my challenge when I go to Turkey. I know I'll be able to do it, but I just know that'll be, I know when I get there out, it'll definitely trigger my mind. Oh, I would not mind a pint now in the sun. Because it's like, that's one of the appealing sells, isn't it? That's when a lot of people who don't necessarily drink every weekend, once the sun's out, oh, it's the excuse, oh, come out, everyone get in the beer gardens. And so that'll be, I reckon, my only proper challenge in the full 12 months.
Do you know what's nice about that, though, is that you've got such a great opportunity to really see...
prove it to myself as well.
It's having a sober holiday. You won't believe how good it is. And then what you do, a bit like when you're on that train on the way back with your colleague, you'll have that same feeling, but like a hundredfold. Because when I did my first sober holiday, I was 4 months sober. And, you know, I obviously... the thing is, in those situations, is the conditioning. If that's all you've done, that's why it's so triggering. Do you know what I mean? So for me, I got really prepared, and I'd got my headphones and my books and things to take with me. So I had distractions, and I could keep learning and reading interesting stories and all that sort of stuff. I had all that with me, but I kind of made a little plan for myself what I was going to do in the days, which was have a nice breakfast, do some lengths in the pool, you know, have a really nice chill in the sun and actually relax, which is something that I'd never done on holiday before, because I'd always just ruined, you know, all I ever really went on holiday for was to drink. And then in the afternoon, go for a walk, do this, get a really nice gelato, go and see what sports are available, go and, do you know what I mean? And I had like, and then I was like feeling really fresh and looking forward to a good dinner, nice prawns in the
evening. I can't wait for it to go away now.
Yeah, but it's like, one of the things I felt when I came back, and I've definitely had this before a lot of times, is, oh my God, that's how you're supposed to feel when you get back from holiday, which is actually well-rested and relaxed and good. Because whenever I came back from holiday, I just felt like I needed a holiday.
Yeah, like I needed an holiday to get over it.
So it's like, it's a really weird feeling when the penny drops when you're away and you realise that when you're not just sitting by the pool, just wasting all your time and money on alcohol, there's loads of things to do. And not only that, but the feeling you get from that realization, it just cements that you don't need it. So it's exciting.
That's why I'm buzzing. Yeah, that's why I'm buzzing. Dylan's coming because he's proper into his fitness. So I think we're going to be planning on going for a run every morning. There's a gym at my auntie's apartment that we can use. Turkey's a gorgeous place anyway. I know where it is, where my mum's memorial is, in Side in Antalya. I know the place at the back of my hand because I've been about 10 times. So I know there's loads of stuff we can do, and I can't wait. I love a scran, me. That's probably another reason why I've not lost any weight, because I don't eat crap, but I eat a lot of food. Because I just eat loads of good food. Obviously, when you're there, it's all fresh. Turkey's known for grill. Oh, honestly, when you said that then, going to get some ice cream and stuff. Yeah. Proper got me moving my holiday. Now I'm ready.
I'm excited for you. Yeah. It's a big challenge. But even summer's a big challenge, I think, when you're it's your first sober summer.
That's one of the reasons I did it when I did. So, obviously, I started my sobriety on the 2nd of October 2023, which was a year and a half since my mum had died, because then I knew every six-month anniversary is going to be involved with an anniversary of my mum's death, and that's the kind of targets I were aiming for. Because I know how to trigger myself. I know how to keep within my goalposts, as they say. So You've just got to have set targets. Thing is, people, you've just got to be real with yourself and be perfectly honest with yourself, and you know your own capabilities and what you want to achieve. And that's how you really get it done. One of my mates is trying to go sober, and he's got quite a lot of drinking, drug problems. And he rung me yesterday, and he's only, I think he said he's about a week or two in. He said it's killing him. He said he said it's not the actual thing of wanting anything. He said he just can't sleep. He said he cannot sleep at all. He said I can be sat there and I'm just up all night. He said, I've not got energy. He said, I just can't physically sleep. And that's it's the hardest thing then first 3 months, because it's all the, oh, am I doing the right thing? Oh, am I actually that bad? Oh, I feel this way. Once you get past that 3 month mark, you start seeing the benefits. Once you hit the 6 month mark, you start reaping the benefit. I feel $1 million. I do. I feel really good. So I can't imagine how I'm going to feel at 9 months, then 12 months. Yeah. That's what I mean. I can't see my, obviously I've only signed myself to do 12 months just because I didn't see myself as having like an alcoholic issue that I'm having it every day. But already at the 6 month point, I don't see much point ever really drinking again. When I used to drink, I drunk for the sake of drinking. I didn't drink for the sake of going out. I drunk for the sake, oh, let's go here so I can drink. Whereas, yeah, I've got used to going out without drinking now.
Yeah.
And there's nothing better than if everyone's been on a day session, gets to end of it, and I can go home and have something to eat.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sloshed.
Yeah.
Not falling about my kitchen.
Yeah.
I've come home and make something. I cook at midnight sometimes now. I'd never dreamed of doing that before. Do you know what I mean? And it's good. And waking up the next day, feeling fresh. Not feeling like a bag of shit that's been stood on it middle of the street.
Yes.
It's good. Honestly, feels so, so good.
But it will be interesting if that day should come when you have that drink and, you know, how that might impact. Like you were mentioning the lady at the beginning who's been
sober
for a long time and shed a drinker. Because from my own experience, I stopped drinking at 30 for 8 months, and I felt really good. But I didn't really do any additional deep inner work, in that I think I was kind of relying on willpower for all that 8 months, and it got me really far. Like, the willpower got me really far, and I was enjoying feeling good, but I didn't do a lot to undo the desire for drinking. You know, that kind of like, that glamour that you place on it in Turkey, in the sun, at midday, whatever, that glamour. I didn't do a lot of work on unpicking that desire. So therefore, what that meant is that even though I did 8 months, it still held value in my head. I still thought, you know, maybe one day. And I was at a barbecue and someone said, go on, have a drink, Terry. For God's sake, you've done 8 months. And the sun was shining. And the rosé looked really good. And I went, yeah, like, it was a fuck it moment for me. I went, yeah, why not? Let's just do it. I had the drink. I was still up at 6 a.m. on my first drink. I was still up at 6 a.m. the next morning, still trying to keep the party going. Still, all that old behavior came straight back. Like, it hadn't gone anywhere. It was like lying dormant in the wings, waiting for the opportunity to come back out again. And then from that day, I drank for another 11 years, really solidly, like quite hard. Not quite hard as in, like, to be honest, I drank 4 nights a week. You know, if I was being really good, maybe 3. If I was being a bit shit, 5. But on average, probably 4 nights a week. I probably drank a bottle a night. Again, not, you know, some people might listen to that and think, Christ, I'm drinking 3. You know, so the whole, like, the quantity, the frequency, none of that matters, really. That doesn't mean anything. They're just numbers. But for me, I still felt really chained to it. Like, I couldn't go anywhere without a drink. I was still, like, felt like I was going to have a shit time if I had to drive. And so I'd get me in arguments because I didn't want to do that. Because
that, That's the exact way I was the first few months, because it's all the conversations that might happen, like, oh, why are you not drinking? Oh, why are you not doing this? Oh, do you not just want one? Or just piss off. Just how about that? Do you know what I mean? And so I completely get you there.
Yeah.
I really do.
But I think what was really alarming to me, or what was quite eye-opening, and again, I'm not saying this would happen to you, or I'm not saying it happens in every case, but I think it happens in the majority of cases, is as soon as I switched that tap on again and let myself have that drink, I was straight back in.
Mm.
I was straight, and actually, I felt like I was in a bit harder than I was before, which was a bit annoying. So, yeah, I think it. But then sometimes I wasn't looking back. If I had been a bit more switched on, I would have got home from that barbecue and Anna would have gone, no, I'm not doing that again. I mean, that's just, I don't want to go. But for whatever reason, where I was in my life and everything like that, I just didn't do it. And then, like I said, I didn't stop drinking until I was 41, you know, which is like nearly 5 years ago now. So that's, you know, amazing that I got there. But yeah, it's just you've got an opportunity here. And like you said, I would keep leaning into how good everything feels and challenging, actually, what are you even getting? Have you read the Alan Carr Easy Way book?
No, oh, I haven't. Actually.
That's you should read that. In fact, you should take that book on holiday.
Mm.
And you should read it, because it's a really good read, or audio book, whatever is your preference. It is the book for me that changed everything. It's the book that changed everything from the point of, it separates the willpower bit from the desire, and it helps you to start undoing the desire. And most people that I tell read that book say that it also was quite life-changing for them. So that I would, you know, take
what's that called? Alan Carr, The Easy Way.
He's got a smoking book, which millions of people have stopped smoking using. But the Easy Way to Stop Drinking book is really simple. It does what it says on the tin, but it really just helps to get your brain thinking about what am I actually really getting. So it's just like it just kind of boosts that place that you're in now. It just kind of boosts it.
There's your holiday read. That's where I feel like I'll have to be reading that while I'm sat there around pool looking at my brother.
Yeah.
This is why. Me and Alan.
Yeah, read the book and then let me know what you think of it. And that is the perfect companion for those wobbly moments when you're on holiday and you're kind of feeling a bit uncomfortable because you're not doing what you've always done, which will feel comfortable. You know, it does feel uncomfortable. But it doesn't mean that discomfort can't be, you know, got through, and that you can't come out the other side and have that amazing feeling of you did it and I feel great for doing it. But yeah, so you're 6 months in and at least another 6 months to go, or maybe longer, who knows?
Yeah.
What are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to overcoming that on the holiday. And then I've got a surprise holiday with Mrs. booked in June. She knows we're going away. She don't know where.
She's not going to listen to this, is she?
No, no. So she don't know where, so I can't reveal that. But it's a very active holiday. We're doing a lot of active stuff on it. So I don't even think I'd struggle there anyway, because it's not very relaxed. But we might have a couple of days relaxing, but I made sure. But we're doing a lot of activities where we're going. It's going to be mint. And then I'm looking forward to the 12 month sober, because it's just, the thing is about, once I've proved that I can do that to myself, I know I can do as long as I want. Because if I can do 12 months, I can do 12 years. And I know that after you've just said that, then, because one thing that's been keeping me going is weighing up the, what are the positives of having a drink today, and what are the negatives? And that's what's kept me going up until now. But I do think having a read of that book will definitely spur me on to the next, however many months, years, or whatever it'll be.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate that. Thank you. I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. No, it's a pleasure. Yeah. I mean, there's some really good books out there as well. The other book that if you really enjoy that book, the other book that I would encourage is Alcohol Explained by William Porter. His book's really good as well. And it just breaks all the science down. It's really fascinating. And that might, you know, either of those books, but I would say maybe the Alan Carr book, tell your friend as well, you know, to like get.
Well, 100%, I will.
He's probably a lot of people do feel that, like you said, in the first few months, it's really tough, and it can be physically tough. And sometimes it makes me laugh. I see people that, you know, when they do Dry January, and if you see it on social media, and people say, well, I did 30 days and felt nothing, so, you know, what's everyone talking about? Going back to
it's not a month just doesn't do it.
To
properly feel the benefit, I feel like you have to do a minimum of 6 months, because that's where I've mainly felt the benefits now. So try and do it. That's what it's just, is there Dry January, dry half year, see how many do that.
Yeah,
because then all of them would go, well, I don't see much point having another drink for now.
Yeah.
So we'll do the full year.
Yeah.
And then it's just a snowball effect then, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. For you then, what would you say are the three bits of advice that you would give to someone, especially someone around the same kind of age as you as well?
Yeah. So the three main bits of advice I could possibly give is, number one, watch the purpose. Not like, you need to know who you're doing it for, whether it's you, whether it's someone else, what you're doing it for. You need a purpose to do it, because that is what's going to help drive you through it. The second one is keep yourself busy. Whether that's going out, where it's playing, going out, walking. People take the mech out of people going sober. They go mountain climbing. It's a decent place to have a walk. It's better than walking around each street. So climb the mountains, balls to them. Keep yourself busy, play games, read books, whatever it is. Final one, set goalposts. If you think for the first 3 months you don't want to go out and you really want to limit yourself, that's fine. If you want to spend three to six, socializing, trying to put yourself in pubs and restaurants without drinking, that's your next goalpost. Months 6 to 9, you want to start going out to music events, raves, gigs, really put yourself in the deep end. Set your goalpost, because without your goalpost, you're not being realistic. You're working towards nothing. Same with anything in life. You say you want to be a millionaire, but you're just going to sit there and wait for it to happen. Never going to be one. You set goalposts to say, how are you going to keep making more money? You'll make more money. So they're my three bits of advice.
Oh, brilliant. Really good bits of advice. Yeah, really good. I love that. Set the goalposts. So, because so many people focus on time, you know, like get to 30 days or get to 3 months or get to, you know, time.
Yeah.
Events, really. But I really like that there's almost like almost behavior goals, or, you know, other outside of time achievement goals.
Yeah, there's got to be social achievements as well, because that's a big part of it. So it's definitely a big part of it. And normality achievements, feeling normal in so many different situations.
Yeah, you need to kind of build. I always think about it like a sober muscle. You know, you need to build that sober muscle socially. You need to get strength in that sober muscle so that you can operate and be happy in those situations as well. If your mum was watching you, which I'm sure she is, what do you think she'd be? What would she think about all this? What would she be feeling?
I really do think my mum would be proud, because my mum loved a drink. My mum loved a drink, but she always did tell me, I always, like, she, my mum took it too far when she drunk sometimes. So I'd carry her home from pub and all sorts. But she used to tell me I used to take it too far. And I do think with a scene how I've dealt with everything, she'd be very, very proud. That's the whole reason I'm raising the money in memory of Mummy Star, in memory of her, because I know she's watching, so she can see me doing it.
Oh,
I think she'd be buzzing.
Oh, I'm sure she will be. Thank you so much for being so open and honest. I'm excited for you. Please keep in touch. Let me know.
I will do.
Drop me an Instagram. On that point, if people want to come and find you and follow you, how can they do that?
Yeah, so they want to find me. Instagram, Seb Fitz, SebFitz. And TikTok, Seb.Fitz, so SEB.FITZ. Hopefully help a lot of people out. That's my mission. Help people out of my struggles. Help them in theirs. It's the best thing we can do, isn't it?
Definitely. There is a lot of healing in our stories. Thank you so much, Seb. Good luck with everything. And I'm sure we'll hear more. So all the best.
Thank you for having me, the Sassy Sober Mum. Ta-ra.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you're interested in being a guest, please contact me directly on Instagram by sending a message to @sassysobermum. You can also find helpful tools and resources on my website, sassysobermum.com. If you enjoyed the podcast and you want to spread the love, please like, share, and rate the podcast. I really look forward to next time. See you then.